Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, September 27th, 2020, Pastor John Melky.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
I want you to imagine for a moment that the Green Bay Packers captains and the Detroit Lions captains met last Sunday at the 50-yard line at the start of the game with the referee, and they concluded that they're not going to be able to keep score today. No score on the scoreboard. In fact, we're not even going to keep score on the records on the sidelines. No score keeping whatsoever. How would you have reacted? Would you have walked out of your TV living room? Maybe done something more enjoyable instead of watching a game that didn't really count, apparently, since they're not keeping score. I know I was hoping they wouldn't have kept score either because the Lions lost by 3 touchdowns. In sports, whether it's football or baseball, by the way, the Brewers, they have to win today, so they have to keep score so they can win and get into the playoffs. Or any other hockey team or whatever sport, you usually want to keep score. But when it comes to certain aspects of life, there's no need to keep score. When it comes to taking someone to the grocery store because they are in need, or raking their lawn because the leaves have piled up, there's no need to keep score. When you have been hurt by a family member, loved one, spouse, or child, there's no need to keep score. When it comes to forgiving us of our sins, God says there's no need to keep score. But here in our text, we find someone who wanted to keep score. The disciple Peter. He asked the Lord, "How many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? As many as 7 times? Now these words, as I said earlier, followed up right after this message from Jesus in chapter 18, where the Lord was telling him how to carry out acts of discipline for those who are unrepentant. Pastor Tolbert did a great job of presenting that sermon to us last weekend. I hope you'd go back and watch if you didn't see it yet. But those are about those who have been unrepentant. Now the Lord says, those who have repented, those who are sorry for their sins, how do we go about repenting? Or how do we go about forgiving them? Do we forgive them up to 7 times, Peter asks? Up to 7 times? Well, the rabbis of Peter's day, they are convinced that you only needed to offer up the forgiveness of sins for the same sin up to 3 times. And Peter, more than double that, he must have thought it was pretty good. Up to 7 times? The Lord has a better choice. He says, not 7 times, but I tell you as many as 77 times. Now the Greek actually says 70 times 7. But whether we're talking 490 times or 77 times, it doesn't really matter because that's not the Lord's point. His point is we need to forgive our neighbor, our loved ones, those who sin against us when they repent. Even if they repent, of the same sin over and over again. Up to 7 times? No, the Lord says 70 times 7. Over and over again, offer forgiveness of sins to those who repent, even if it's the same sin over and over. Why does the Lord tell us that? He tells us that because, remember what we say in the Lord's Prayer? He says he does the same thing for us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So who's keeping score? Peter wanted to keep score. The Lord says there's no need to keep score. And in order to illustrate that, he gives us a parable. The parable of the unmerciful servant. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle them, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, talent was worth about $1,000. Now, that means that he owed about $10 million. That would take about 200,000 years of work to pay that off. Wasn't going to happen, was it? His master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, children, and all that he owed to repay the debt. The king was not going to gain back what he lost, but maybe he get some accounting for it. Then the servant fell down on his knees in front of him saying, "Master, be patient with me and I will pay you everything." But that was never going to happen. That was an impossibility. It was foolish to even think he could even do it. The master, that servant, had pity on him, released him, and forgave him the debt. Unbelievable mercy. This king was willing to forgive the debt so that the servant could not only get back his life, but the life of his family, his children, his wife, and all that he owed was all his. He was released from the debt. He was scot-free. He was all free to go. Now, up to this point in the parable, what are you thinking? Can you imagine that same kind of debt in your life being forgiven for you completely and freely, fully free? That new car that you bought, the debt's paid. Someone paid it for you. You have no bills, no mortgage on your house, no mortgage on your car. The times you went in for doctor's appointments and had to have cancer treatments or surgery, someone paid that for you. It's totally gone. How would you react? Those students are listening or watching, your student loan's been paid off. It's all gone. Someone paid it for you. How would you react? I would think you'd have a sense of joy and gratitude, wouldn't you? If those things actually happened to you in your life, maybe they have. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began choking him, saying, "Pay what you owe me." Now, a denarii was about 100 days' wages. So if he's working like $10 an hour for 8 hours a day, he's going to make about $8,000. That's not a chump change, but certainly nowhere comparing to the millions and billions of dollars that the other servant owed. So his fellow servant fell down and begged him, saying, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But the servant refused. Instead, he went off and threw the man into prison until he could pay back what he owed. Here he is grabbing this man, choking this man around the neck, and begging him to, in fact, demanding that he gives him the money they owed him. If he couldn't do it, he'd throw him in prison. There's someone who's unwilling to forgive. Here's someone who's willing to keep score. That didn't go past the other servants, did it? They heard what happened, they saw what happened, and they went to their master, and the master was furious. "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt when you begged me to. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" His master was angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay back everything he owed. Now this merciful servant, now he lost the 100 denarii, he's going to be put in prison, never be able to have his life back the way he wanted it to be. That's all because he was keeping score. And Jesus closes with these ominous words. "This is what my heavenly Father will also do to you unless each one of you forgives his brother from his heart." Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been forgiven a huge debt. Picture for yourselves all the many times that you have sinned against your God. Picture the debt of every shameful thought you've had in your heart, every evil look you've had in your eyes, every time you've spoken pitiful words from your mouth, all the things you've omitted that God wants you to do, all the things that God says you should not do, and you do them anyway. Picture those for yourself. You're responsible for those. You owe a debt to God because you have sinned against his holy name. I'd like you to picture that each one of those sins is a piece of manure. Imagine the pile of manure that's stacked up against the holy God. Imagine the stench he's smelling in his nostrils because he sees all your sins laid before him. And our loving God says, "I don't keep score. I've forgiven you that debt. The stench in my nostrils is gone. I only have a sweet aroma in my sight because of what I see has been replaced by your worthless sins." How did he do that? You know. He not only forgave the debt, he paid the debt. He was willing to sacrifice his own son to be subjected to punishment in hell. By suffering on a tree, a piece of wood. Suffer payment for all the sins of the world. That crucified and risen Savior has promised us that all our sins are gone. We're completely full and free. That debt has been paid. We're released from that prison of sin, prison of hell, because God didn't keep score. And he doesn't want us to keep score either. As we sang in the Psalms, Psalm 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." I will hear what the Lord proclaims, peace to his people. Right? Our Lord God gives us peace. He doesn't keep score. And he wants us to repent of our sins and then also to forgive our sins of those who sin against us, even if they commit that sin over and over again, because we are not to keep score. Does that mean, my friends, that our holy God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, says that we're going to end up in eternal debtors of hell if we don't repent of our sins? Yes. Is that same Lord God going to say that if we refuse to forgive those who sin against us, even if they commit the sin over and over again, that we deserve eternal damnation in hell? Yes. Forgiveness of sins and refusal to forgive those who sin against us do not coexist. They do not go hand in hand. You cannot have one with the other. You have to have the need to repent of your sins, trust in Jesus as your Savior, and then also know that the Lord God forgives you all your sins, and he also wants you to forgive those who sin against you every single time. He says to do that because he doesn't keep score. But who's keeping score? Who wants to be like the unmerciful servant and not to forgive those who sin against them? Who's keeping score? You think in our first lesson that Joseph would have wanted to keep score. Here he is, the vice president of Egypt, and his brothers show up to, because there's a famine going on. They want some food, and they're scared. They think he's going to keep score and that he's going to kill them for all they did wrong against him in the past. But the Lord had forgiven Joseph of his sins, and likeness, Joseph also was willing to forgive his brothers from the heart. Think of a time when someone sinned against you. Think of a time when someone sinned against you and it really hurt you. Now think of that hurt happening not just once, but twice, 4, 7, 8, 10 times, over and over again. Did you keep score? The Lord does not want us to keep score. He wants us to forgive those who sin against us when they come to us with repentant hearts. I sometimes think we have a hard time forgiving from the heart because we think that our sins are worth forgiving. Those who sin against me are not. The Lord God says, forgive from the heart. An unwillingness to forgive probably means we have not drawn ourselves closer to the cross. When I think about what I've done against my God, I think about all the sins I've committed with my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. I find myself going to the cross. I realize my Savior died for those sins. He buried them in the tomb. They're gone completely. They're erased from his memory, which is impossible to think because he's God, but he's a holy God who forgives me all my sins and takes them all away, never to think about them again. The Lord wants us to do the same. Has there been a time you said, how can I ever forgive him for what he did to me? How can I ever forgive her for what she did to me? The Lord forgives from the heart. The Lord says to do that willingly, not reluctantly. Forgive from the heart, Jesus says. It's not easy. It could hurt. There might be consequences because of the way they treated you in the past. That doesn't mean you stop forgiving. Jesus says forgive over and over again from the heart. Not reluctantly, but willingly. Not to get back at them, not to get revenge, but to simply forgive from the heart. Forgiving others is our responsibility. It's a privilege. How do we do better at forgiving others from the heart? Well, we gather around God's gospel and word and sacrament, don't we? The essential ingredients to feed our faith, draw us closer to our Lord God, draw us closer to each other. Forgive from the heart, Jesus says. Appreciate the debt of sin that has been paid for by the blood of the Lamb. As we find out true forgiveness from Christ himself, we willingly forgive others who sinned against us. God doesn't keep score. God doesn't want us to keep score either. All he wants us to do is remember that in the time of life, there's no need to keep score. There's only reason to give God praise and thanks for his grace and his forgiveness. Or as the Apostle Paul said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God in Christ forgave us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.